Christian greetings to each one here again. It's good to be here again with you all tonight. Enjoyed being with you today and see what make you all like. Appreciated the devotional thoughts, the challenge to walk with God. Just a good reminder again to continue to walk with God, and because there's so many blessings of really walking with God. For our message this evening, I invite you to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. To read 2 Timothy, I think I'll read for 17 verses here. The writings of the Apostle Paul to Timothy here. First, 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of themselves, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and holy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and leave captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres stood with Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no farther, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity and patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, and Iconium, Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, which thou hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which were able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, for it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The title of my message is a question: true godliness or just a form? Well, we have this passage of scripture that Paul puts out this warning. In the last days. Know this also, that in the last days. What about the last days? What's Paul referring to about these last days? Are we living in the last days? Well, Paul goes on and says that perilous times shall come. Perilous times. What is he talking about when he's thinking about perilous times? Well, perilous meaning it is full of danger, risk, times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with, hard to bear. Paul is saying these days are coming, these last days, and these last days, excuse me, and these last days are going to be perilous times, perilous times. These full of danger and risk. Paul reveals his sense of the sense of urgency as we are living in these last days, these days of danger and arrests. Are we living in the last days? Well, we all could say we probably are. I think we are. These days Paul is referring to are the last days. And Paul says these days of perilous times are going to come. And then he goes on and says, gives a whole list of things. things that are going to happen are things that are going to happen in the last days. And we can read down over a list like that. We can read about men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud. And we could say, well, yes, we are definitely living in the last days. Men, lovers of themselves, we see that all around. We see covetousness, we see pride, boasters, proud, blasphemers. And when we read over a list like that, we can definitely say that this is not fit for God's standard of living. But Paul is saying this is what's happening today. Well, this morning or this evening, what makes these last days superlative? Why are these days so dangerous? Why are these days, Paul is saying, he's putting out this warning. He's like, be aware, perilous times are coming in these last days. And Paul wrote this, how many thousands, a couple thousand years ago? Here we are, 2020. Perilous days are coming, and they're here today. And Paul says, perilous times shall come. And the question we could ask ourselves, you know, we're not facing persecution here today, here in America. Really, we're not. Or about the stories we read about. We can read about Anabaptists and the martyrs that were persecuted for the faith. Something we can't really connect with. We're not facing persecution in that sense today. Being a Christian today is really not that difficult, is it? Or is it tough to be a Christian today? Question I have to ask myself. We have religious freedoms today. We're so blessed with religious freedoms. And we don't have to go to jail for reading the Bible. Or we don't have to go to prison or executed for preaching the gospel. And we can take the gospel message today and go into the town of, you can go into the town of Northeast or wherever the local towns are. You can spread the gospel. You can preach the gospel. Yeah, you might have people laugh at you. They might make fun of you. But the authorities of the land aren't going to capture you. They're not going to put you in prison. And we can gather tonight. We can gather tonight in the open here. We don't need to gather in secret. So tonight we're blessed. We're living in good times. And it's times that we all know it. That's all we know about, really. But Paul puts out this warning. He says, we're living in perilous times in these last days. Is that to come yet? Or are we actually living in perilous times? Well, even though we're living in these good times, there is a threat that we face. And that can be a dangerous threat to our spiritual lives. And that is coming too comfortable with the pressure around us. And you could ask, well, what's the pressure that we face around us? Well, we have Paul's descriptive list of behavior in the last day describes our society. Even, unfortunately, many Christians today. Many Christians today. There's a comfortableness or about the superficial Christianity. Or you could say the surface, the pretend Christianity that's out there. And that should cause us to become uncomfortable. It should stop and make us stop and think. And it's good for us tonight to read down over a list and say, well, where's Kevin Reif in this? How's he doing? And you put your name there tonight. Where do we actually stand tonight as living the Christian life? Are we, like our brother mentioned in the divisions, are we walking with God? Are we actually walking with God? Do we have that relationship with Christ, with God? Well, the real threat I feel today, and threat for myself, is it's easy to be over the top, pretend Christian, actually to look and act good, say the right things at the right time. And yet, really, when we stop and think, it's kind of a cover-up, it's actually a cover-up, it's not genuine inside. And the key verse I like to pull out of these verses is verse 5. And this brother read this at our church here the other Sunday. And verse 5 just called out, jumped out at me is having a form of godliness, but denying the power of such turn away. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power of. Brothers and sisters, tonight, if it's just a form tonight, we're not going to make it. If we're just professing to be a Christian tonight and pretending everything's okay, it's not enough. Brothers and sisters, there is a power available tonight through His Spirit, through our Lord Jesus, that we can live vibrant Christian lives tonight without a question or a doubt. His promises are there for us in the Scripture, that we can live faithful in these last days, these perilous days that we're facing, and standing up strong for Jesus Christ. Having a form would mean looking or acting like we are a Christian, but it's all a form. Having appearance of godliness, yet it's only surface. Inside, we're not genuine. Having a form of godliness could mean that you could go to church. And it could mean that you're a part of the Lakeview Mennonite Church here. And you're part of the Pilgrim Conference. But you just go through the motions of church life. You know the Bible. You might even know the Bible and study the Bible. And you know it from top to bottom. I know people that way. And yet, inside, there's something lacking. You might be even being a conservative Mennonite tonight. You're focused on the importance of separation. I'm not downplaying that at all. We need to be separate. And now we need to be, we studied that this morning in our Sunday school, come out among them, be ye separate, was our theme verse. So this morning, this evening, I do want to downplay that, but it takes more. It's got to start inside. It's got to be a changed heart, a changed life. Or I could be claiming to be a Christian, yet looking like the genuine society around us. And we meet a lot of people that way, that pretend, or they claim they're on fire for God. And I'm so glad I don't need to judge their lives, and yet they live like this, or fit in with the general society. Well, could be following and holding up traditions that may make a person look good, and yet inside there's a lot of lacking. Tonight a form is not enough. Talking good at the right time, not enough. Looking and appearing good tonight is not going to cut it. It's going to take a genuine heart, starting from the inside out. It's a threat we face today. Yes, we're not facing persecution. We're not burned to the stake tonight for our faith, like the stories we read about. And when I read stories like that, it does something to me as men and women had to stand up strong for the Lord. They had to stand up strong, and there was no lukewarmness. There was no middle ground where they were staying on, if I'm explaining that right. No one had to question their relationship with their Lord or their love for God. It was genuine. And they were taken and they would burn them to the stake. And in all their testimonies, it was being faithful. They would maybe sing. They would praise out to God while their life was being taken, while they were persecuted for their faith. Genuine from the heart, from inside out. No one had to question their relationship with God. You could see it in their walk and actions. They would not give in, but they stood up strong for God. They stood up strong for God. And a question I had to ask myself, how would I stand today under that pressure? Would I be strong enough? Would I stand up strong enough for our Lord? Would I be committed to hang in there the whole way through? Or would I give in? Well, tonight we don't face that kind of persecution, but the test is the same today. And I feel it is. The test is the same today, to stand up strong for God while living in this affluence and living these comfortable lifestyles we live. How are we doing tonight? It's so easy to become lax and complacent in our Christian lives. It's so easy to become lukewarm in our Christian experience. And I had to think about the church here, that one of the churches, the seven churches there in Revelation, but there's a lot of sins. They had a lot of nice things going. They were doing it right, but they were lukewarm. Somehow along the line, they cooled off spiritually. And tonight the challenge is, how am I doing? How are you doing? It's so easy to become lax and complacent in our Christian lives and become lukewarm in our Christian experience. But tonight, God's standard is the same for us today. And it's the same. God has a standard that we need to live. And it's standing up strong for Him. And be lovers of Him the whole way. Loving Him with our whole hearts. And the real challenge is to keep it that way. Not cool off spiritually. And if I can find myself, if I find myself cooling off, you can do that after a while. And after a while, it's just a form. And you can, and what the danger part of it is when you cool off spiritually is that no one really probably notices at first. You can kind of weigh, you can cover up. You can look and appear all right. But inside, it's not genuine. Inside, there's something lacking. Inside, it's a heart that's cooling off. Maybe a heart that's kind of chasing after the world. And there's a cooling off going on. And yet, no one really notices because I have a way of talking right, I have a way of dressing right, I have a way of covering up. And listen, that's not what it's all about. And no one really notices because I fit in with the crowd. We do things that look good to get a brownie point, to talk spiritual, pretend to be a good Christian, maybe live, maybe like to talk about good spiritual things, or talk about good things that I do so that people think that I'm a Christian. But yet you know deep inside it's for the wrong reason. And but inside is an empty heart. It's just a form of godliness. And it's such a real challenge today. Not to become a shallow Christian or a pretend Christian. And if you would and if you go through the ministry of follow the or read the, through the Gospels, I should say. And read through the Gospels, and I just, it's one thing I really enjoy. Start with Matthew, and I just read about Jesus' ministry. And as he, his heart of compassion he had for the people. But there's one set of people that he would condemn, rebuke, or he would scold. And that was those Pharisees. And there's many verses we could go tonight where Jesus would, he would just go straight blank forward and say, listen, and they, why was he so? Why was he so so hard against them? Why was he so? Why did he rebuke them often, or challenge them often, or just straightforward, just say, listen, this is. Why was he so hard on them? Well, it was a people who claimed to do what was right, did all kinds of righteous deeds, obeyed the law to the fullest, and maybe beyond. And yet, it was just an empty heart inside. They just did things to look good. Maybe to get attention. And we can turn, we're going to read. We're going to pull a few accounts out of Matthew 6. Jesus was talking there on the Sermon on the Mount. He gave some illustrations here. In verse 1 and 2 of Matthew 6. Take heed. Matthew 6, verse 1. Take heed that you do not do your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee. So Jesus is saying, listen, when you do your alms, your good deeds, or your deeds of charity, or maybe it's love gifts, or put in the offering, we could say, or whatever those alms, whatever that represented, or what that meant. Jesus is saying, don't do it. Don't do it before men to get attention. Don't do it because you want someone to see you and see how much money you're giving. And why is he bringing this out? Because in verse 2 he said, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the, who's he talking about? As the hypocrites do. As they do in the synagogues, in the streets, that they have made glory of men. Verily I say unto you, he says, they have their reward. Jesus was saying here, don't sound a trumpet like these hypocrites do. Did they actually sound trumpets? They probably did. Maybe they blew their whistle a little bit. Well, the idea was, look at me, look at me, look what I'm doing, look how much money I'm giving. And all it was is, see how good I'm doing, to see how good deeds I'm doing. And all it was is to get attention. And they would blow their whistle, they'd blow their trumpets. And Jesus said, don't do that. In his teaching here on that Sermon on the Mount, he wanted his listeners to grasp the importance. And I could about imagine his listeners could picture these Pharisees. And man, I'm sure they were in that crowd that day listening. But Jesus wanted to get the message to those people. And I'm sure the people could also picture these Pharisees sitting there along the street corners or blowing their whistles in the temple or in the synagogues, getting attention. And Jesus said, that's not what alms giving is all about. It's, and he uses these, and he describes this group of people as hypocrites. And it describes a people who do good deeds for acts for appearance only, not out of compassion or good motives. Their actions may be good, but their motives are hollow. And this is what Jesus was condemning. This is what he was condemning. They would give their alms, money and offering, a good thing to do, but it was wrong. And they could be seen of men. And that's what happened. And that's what happened tonight. When we do things to get attention, it's not coming from our heart, but it's just a form of godliness. It's really a form. And they wanted the glory of men. Jesus said, now. He said, I will not. He said, they will have their reward. He said, I will not judge them. But he said, they will have their reward. But he also goes on to explain really how it should be done. He said, when you do your alms, and when you give money in the offering, or when you do it, don't let your left hand know what your right hand doeth. Don't even know. Don't even let people know. Don't even think about letting people know what you're actually doing. What is your motive behind it? Why are you doing? And so often, do I enjoy doing something, giving something, and we try to do it in secret. Yes, we don't want really people to notice, but sometimes we like to make a little noise. And sometimes we hope they really, somehow they find out that it was me behind that. Did you hear about so-and-so over here? Yes. Well, that was me. Jesus said, that is wrong. It's not coming from the heart. He said, we shouldn't even know what our left and our right hand doeth. Don't even. We are to give our alms in secret without anyone knowing about it. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand doing. It's a challenge to my own life. My good deeds that I do. Why am I doing? And tonight, if you just have a form of godliness, like these hypocrites, like these Pharisees did here, it was all about over the top. It was all about looking good. Get men attention. And it wasn't from the heart. And Jesus said, that's wrong. And Jesus taught going the other way, doing it. See, he also moves on here in verse 5. Jesus talks about prayer. He said, when thou prayest, don't be as the hypocrites are. And what were some of the things the hypocrites loved doing? Well, they loved to pray, Jesus said. For they loved to pray. And what did they do? How could they tell that they loved to pray? Well, Jesus saying they loved to pray by standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets. What was the reason? Well, he says it was to be seen of men. And he said, verily I say unto you, again he says, they have their reward. Jesus is saying, he was telling his listeners that day, he said, that is not what prayer is all about. And we have this group of hypocrites here. They're praying for the totally wrong reason. It is to gain attention. To gain attention. And Jesus said that is wrong. And Jesus wanted his listeners to know the importance of prayer and what prayer was all about and the reason why we pray. Well, these hypocrites, again, they love to stand in the synagogue, in the corners of the street, so they could be seen of men. They wanted to see how spiritual they really are. And they would spend a long time praying to get people's attention. They had lengthy prayers, he talks about here. Jesus seen straight through these religious leaders and said, that's not what prayer is all about. It's not to get attention standing there praying out loud so people can hear, so people can see, wow, look at him over there. He's really got something going. He's a spiritual man there. He loves to pray. But it was all about getting attention of men. And Jesus said, that is wrong. That is not what prayer is all about. But Jesus taught completely the opposite. Jesus said, if when thou prayest, in verse 6, he said, actually, go home into your closet and shut the door. Shut out the distractions. And there, pour your heart out before God. And he said, your heavenly Father, which seeth thee in secret, is going to reward thee openly. And it's a challenge to each one of us here tonight again, to challenge my own life. And it's so easy. Why pray? Is it to get attention of other people that I'm around? Or am I connecting to my heavenly Father? And when I pray, when I'm in my prayer closet, and it's something that we need to do, is spend time in prayer. I mentioned that a little this morning. But we need to spend time in secret, away from the distractions of life. Yeah, there's nothing wrong praying out loud. It's not what Jesus was getting at, but he was getting at the importance of our personal prayer life. And that's what our Heavenly Father loves to see. When we take time out of our busy schedules, out of whatever it is, out of the distractions of life, we shut that out and we go to our closets and we pour our hearts out before God. And our Father notices that and he loves that tonight. That's what prayer is all about. And that's what Jesus was getting at here. Jesus was saying, that's real prayer. And he wanted his listeners to take a lesson that day and really to know what prayer is all about. It's not about sitting here like the Pharisees or the hypocrites were, to be seen of men, to see how good they were praying. Well, moving on here. Talks about fasting here as well. Verse 16, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites are again. Jesus is not condemning fasting, but the hypocrisy that was going on here. Fasting in order to gain public approval. Jesus said, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. These people again, these hypocrites, were fasting to gain public approval. Fasting was mandatory for the Jewish people once a year on the Day of Atonement. And it was a once-a-year thing, but sometimes these Pharisees volunteer fasted twice a week, impress the people with their holiness. And that's what they were after. They were wanted there again. They were trying to gain attention and to realize how holy we were. Look at us. We fast twice a week. Fasting is very important and something we need to do, something I need to do more, is spend time in fasting. But don't make a lot of noise about it. Don't let people know. Don't spend a lot of time telling people how often you fast. Jesus commended the acts of these self-righteous, self-sacrifice deeds. And he wanted them to be done in quiet and secret. He wanted the people to adopt spiritual discipline for the right reasons and not for selfish desire for praise. Again, these hypocrites appeared to be righteous, but it was all to gain, to be recognized, to see how good they were. But Jesus goes on to say, when thou fastest, don't appear as the hypocrites, as unto men to fast, but unto the Father. When thou fastest, verse 17 says, anoint thy head and wash thy face, and do not appear unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which in secret, and thy Father which seeth thee in secret, reward thee only. It's a beautiful verse, beautiful promise again. As Jesus is saying, listen, you need to go to the right reason. And tonight, if it's just a form, we're going to have the wrong reason. But if we're doing it to get attention, if we're doing it to look good, to appear right, we might as well forget it. If it's not coming genuine from the heart. We could go over to Luke chapter 18. Another familiar account about the Pharisee and the publican. We have these two men. Again, they went up to the temple to pray. In verse 10, Luke 18, two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes to all that I possess. Wow, we see this proud Pharisee. And there he was. Sure enough, Jesus said that's what these Pharisees do. They like to go up to the temple to pray. And sure enough, here he is. And there he is. He's praying. He says, God, he says, pray thus with himself. He's praying about himself. At least I'm not like this person or that person. At least I don't do the bad things like this brother does or that sister does or the unjust, the adulterers, even as this publican over here. Look at what I do. I fast twice a week. I give tithes, all the things that I possess. I'm just a good person. Is that a form of godliness? Is that just a form he had? And what's the difference when we have the publican standing afar off? And he wouldn't even hardly lift his eyes much up to heaven. But he smote his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. See the difference? And Jesus goes on and says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. See the difference in these two men. One having a form of godliness. He was worried what people thought of him. And act like he was somebody. Acted like he was a pretty good man. A pretty righteous man. And doing all kinds of good things. But his heart wasn't right. And we have this publican. Humbly praying. Ashamed of the things he done. But we see a heart that is pouring out before God and saying, God, be merciful to me. I failed. I need you to come into my heart and cleanse my ways. See the difference. Another account, Luke 11, verse 37. We have a Pharisee condemning Jesus. When Jesus was there, he was sat down to eat and he forgot to wash his hands the way it sounds here. He did not wash before dinner. And this Pharisee over here seen him and he marveled that he didn't wash before dinner. And Jesus got pretty straightforward with him. He said, now ye Pharisee, make clean the outside of the cup and the platter. And what Jesus was saying, you look good on the outside. You have everything shined up. You have everything looking so attractive. You do everything right on the outside, but oh, what's wrong inside? And he goes on to say that, but inward part is full of raving and wickedness. Jesus seen right through that man, that Pharisee. And it was about, he seen right through these self-righteous Pharisees and how they were living their lives. And Jesus had no time for that. He really didn't. Well, the question I have, how do I today keep my commitment with God strong and not just becoming a form? How do I? It's a question I need to ask myself that. How do I keep up my commitment with God strong and not becoming just a form? Well, my commitment becomes a form when I love myself or I think a lot about myself. As the Apostle Paul started there in 1 Corinthians or 2 Timothy 3, he says, in these last days, perilous times to come, for men shall be lovers of themselves. And brothers and sisters tonight, if we think we are someone, and we love to think a lot about ourselves, and we like to puff ourselves up, well, going to become a form. And the rest of the list goes on, the covetousness, the prideness, the boasters, and the list goes on and on. And then it gets down at the end of those verses, men shall be lovers of pleasure more than of God. And we see that in our pleasure-seeking society today. We see men, people everywhere, living for pleasure. They live for the weekend. They don't like to work too hard. I mean, it's sighing because it's Monday morning. But you catch someone Friday afternoon, they're just can hardly wait. It's the weekend. We can live it up. We can go seek for pleasure. We see that in our pleasure-seeking satiety. But when, not saying pleasure is all wrong, but tonight if I love pleasure, if that gets in the way between my relationship with God, it's wrong. It's wrong. Well, lovers of pleasure more than love of God. It was, you know, tonight it was always the heart cry of God that his people would walk with him, like our brother read in our devotions. That was ongoing heart, God's heart cry. And that's why God created man. He put him here on this earth, that man would choose to walk with him. And I was just reading through the book of Deuteronomy now. And as they were getting ready to march over into Canaan land, the land of promise, the land they were anticipating, the land they were longing for, the land that was flowing with milk and honey, it was going to be a good land. And time after time, God just pleads with his people, or he tells Moses to plead with the people in all this good land. The good things, and there's going to be, I think he mentions there's going to be vineyards you didn't even have to plant. There's going to be cities you didn't even build, houses that you didn't even build, and wells that you didn't even dig, and on he goes. But he said, do not forget God when you have eaten and are full. And the list goes on, time after time, he says, you need to walk with God and to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That was the heart cry of God. Yes, they had a lot of laws to follow. But the heart, when it comes down to it, God's standard for his people back there was to walk with him full-heartedly through the whole way. It, not just a form, not just putting in time, not just acting like we are, but dedicated to live for him. And one thing God did not want, his people to forget God. Not to forget God. Especially in times of goodness. It's amazing when we live in, when times go good, when things are clicking for us. It's so easy to cool off. It's so easy not to rely on God as we go through tough times. It's so easy to just kind of become more complacent in our Christian lives. It's so easy because we're not really depending on God sometimes as much as we probably ought to. Things are going well. And it's so easy to cool off. It's so easy to become complacent. And that's what God was worried about. And we know how the children of Israel lived their lives. As you keep on reading through, there was times that they followed the gods of the nations around them. That's what God warned them not to do. They would take their own ways. They would live for self and pleasures. And they would do the things they wanted to do. They didn't want to seek after God and walk with him and his statues and follow him the fullest. And that's a challenge for us today, isn't it not? God wants his people this morning, or tonight, God wants each one of us to be committed to serve him to the fullest while we're living in these perilous times. Like Apostle Paul says, perilous times will come. Men should be lovers of themselves. And we could read down their lens and we could say, yes, that's us today. That's our day and age. Well, how am I doing in these times? And God's desire is that we don't have just a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. Just a form, brothers and sisters, isn't going to cut it. And we deny the power. Tonight, there is power available. We can live for him. Be on fire for God tonight. Have the power of God living in our lives. The power is there. We just need to connect to it. And be connected. And stay connected to him. And that is God's desire, that we walk with him. And we love and serve him with our whole heart. And it's a serious thing. It really is. Because there, in going back to the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus ended that sermon, in verse 21 of chapter 7, he says this, not everyone saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does what? He that doeth the will of my Father, which is heaven. Many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And Jesus is saying there's going to come a time when people are going to say, and Jesus is saying, not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven. But it's one that are going to do it, the will of my Father, that doeth the will of my. And he says, many are going to say it in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done this? And hey, listen, I did all kinds of things. I fast twice a week. I give a lot of money in the offering. Good church supporter, church member, had devotions, taught Sunday school. Did a lot of good things. And Jesus is going to say, I profess unto you, I never knew you. Depart. Tonight, a form of godliness is not going to work. Just a form, just pretending, just lukewarmness. Not fully committed. Tonight is not going to work. But he goes on to say, he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. And we know what these verses are, very familiar to us. I will liken him unto a wise man that buildeth his house upon a rock. The rains descended, and the floods that came and blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded on the rock. And each one tonight, and it is my challenge for each one of you tonight, to be founded on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, that we could stand up strong, that we would be faithful. And when the pressures come, to cool off, or the pressure of these perilous times that we're living in, but we would stand up strong, like a wise man tonight, and that the pressures that blow and beat upon us, but we don't fall because we're standing upon the rock of Jesus Christ. And that's my challenge to you, brothers and sisters, and to my own life. Let's be faithful to him. Let's continue to live for him. Let's pray.